AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back. Ryder Cup is underway, baby. And the U.S. off to, well, not a horrible start. Dustin Johnson and Cole, how about that matchup? Dustin Johnson and Colin Morikawa together. Oh, awesome.
You mean the U.S. is Colin Morikawa?
Yeah. Yes, he's from the U.S.
The United States.
Yes.
That's right.
Colin Morikawa. Paul Casey and Victor Hovland against Dustin Johnson and Colin Morikawa. They knocked down a birdie the first hole, birdied the second hole. Still, but both of them birdied the second hole. And but then the Euros hit it close on number three. So it's good. This is good. You guys, are you going to be glued to the television all day?
Yeah.
I mean, watching the Ryder Cup.
Oh, no, but I will be glued to the television.
But not watching Ryder Cup.
I just finished.
This is the most fun thing
ever. No. I'll watch Ryder Cup.
If you don't love America, I guess it's okay.
No, I like match, and I like match play, too.
Yeah.
I don't mind match play, and I like, do you like the team? Or you like individual? I like the team.
No, the team is fun.
Where you got to go.
No, it's for America. Yeah, I mean, that's the whole thing. It's
who's the favorite here since the U.S. has only won once in 13 years?
No. Twice. What is it? No. Actually, well, twice in the last 18 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
You sure it's not once in the last 12 or 13?
No, it's twice in the last 18. But, yeah.
Well, it's just could be the same. It could both be the same.
No. Well, I can give you the Ryder Cup history if you need that. But
Oh, what happened over there? Look over there. It's a phone call. Ben, what's going on, Ben? 713-780-3776. What's up, Ben?
I never watched Davis Mills in college, but I do know that he runs a 4.58, which is faster than Cam Newton, or just as fast as Cam Newton. Do you see the Texans running the ball with him or giving him more like a RPO or something like that? Also, with Davis Mills getting drafted in the third round, just his start right now, I know he's only three games in. Does this make Zach Wilson look like a bad pick? I'll hang up and listen.
Does it make who, Zach Wilson? Oh, I mean, we got to wait on Zach Wilson. It's way, way too early on Zach Wilson. I don't think – are you sure you're not talking Daniel Jones? Because Daniel Jones ran in the 4.5s, I'm pretty sure. I don't remember Davis Mills at his pro day running – a 4.58. So I think didn't he ask if Davis Mills, if they would be running the ball with Davis Mills? I think you got the wrong guy. Well, or maybe you didn't. You know what? My apologies. Chase Goodbread has right here, because I can tell you, nobody in the NFL considers him that fast, but unofficial times at Stanford, according to Chase Goodbread, is the unofficial 40-yard dashes, 4.66 and 4.58. Daniel Jeremiah said mobility is among the questions scouts have on him, and I believe that same thing too. I do not think he is a pocket passer. I do not see them making that part of the offense other than maybe an occasional zone read.
He looks athletic on bootlegs. Now, I'll tell you what, he ran a couple boots
unofficial
yesterday.
Times come yeah. from like can come from, and this is a writer who's probably going to get this from an agent and not a scout. So, but even if he ran in a 4.7s, that's not bad for Davis Mills. He's not a – I get your question, Ben, and your information. I see where you saw the 4.58, the unofficial 4.66, 4.58. I would tell you that he's not nearly that game fast. With that said, yeah, he didn't look like a total pocket sloth.
No.
He didn't look like a Zach Mettenberger.
No, he actually looks athletic coming on bootlegs.
Did you see the internet
when they found out how he can throw on the run, and he looks pretty good doing that, too.
Did you see when the internet found out how long his neck is?
No, he
does. I didn't know it either. Did you see it?
No. He does.
Look at this picture. Holy crap. Texans quarterback goes viral for weird reason.
Chris Solis pointed that out the first week he was playing in his first preseason game. Yeah. Remember, there was an LSU running back who had, who was the long neck LSU running back?
Well, Merton Hanks also had Alfred Blue.
No.
There's the picture.
Oh, yeah, he does. What the hell?
Look
Don't put
how
that
long.
Kid next to him.
I didn't put him next to him.
I know.
You see how long his neck is there? And they look at other long neck quarterbacks as well. So, yeah, he went a little bit viral because he's got a super long neck. They look at other quarterbacks with some necks. Tom Brady. Tom Brady, does he have a long neck?
Harvey, what was Harvey's? What's his name? He had the long neck.
Not
from
Weinstein.
No, Harvey Weinstein.
Harvey Williams.
Harvey Williams.
Manning does have a longer neck.
Yeah, he's got a
longer neck. Sean Glennon's got the longest, one of the longest necks I've ever seen. But Davis Mills has a, that dude's got, that is Necatron right there.
By the way, the U.S. won in 16, so it's only 5 years ago that they won, Lance. But they've won once, since 2008.
Once the last 13 years. Yeah.
And they've only won twice, but we had to skip. We had skip years. We had to skip a year with the COVID, but we've only won twice since 1999. So that's a long time now.
Hey, for those who missed it, I'm curious about if you were in the building yesterday for the game. What did it look like in the second quarter? Because when the game started, it looked like looked like there was 25,000 people there.
Yeah.
If you were there and you have firsthand insight, I know our guy Uncle Freddie, if he calls in, does. We definitely want to. I really want to hear what the fullest the stadium was, because it's listed on the game log as 95% full, as 66,000. Now that's tickets sold. Total. That means nothing. We had a ton of people who couldn't give their tickets away.
Yeah,
they definitely couldn't sell them.
No, they
didn't.
There's
no way that much was in the building. I am curious if for someone who was there to get your estimate of how many were in the building.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it can be a little slow getting off of 610 and getting into the building. I get that. But, I mean, it can't be a high number.
Hey, what was encouraging to me was the pass rush. Jonathan Greenard got there.
Yeah.
I mean,
there was a Greenard sighting.
There was a he got his first start, and he got to the quarterback. That was awfully nice. But he wasn't alone. There was a lot of pressure last night. Whitney got his second sack of the year, which is very. Got to give ups, big ups.
Absolutely.
You know what? He got to the quarterback. He didn't do anything else, but he did do that. So that was nice. Zach Cunningham had 14 tackles last night. He's got such quiet tackles.
It's usually not great when you're like, hey, how'd this guy get so many tackles? That's usually not a great thing. You want to have more high-impact tackles, but you'll take it. It's not like Christian McCaffrey got hurt in the second quarter. That helped.
That helped. Although Chuba looked pretty good.
Chuba's okay. He's not Christian, but he was okay. Sam Darnold had some – you couldn't stop DJ Moore. And we got somebody who sent a comment in that it was Lonnie Johnson is just not going
to
be good enough.
Well, he was late to the scene a lot of times. Ross Blacklock had a strip sack. That was nice. Jonathan Greenard had a strip sack too as well. First forced fumble of his career. That was awfully nice. Mm-hmm. And Whitney Merciless had a sack. You know what? The pass rush was better.
It's better.
It's way better than it was.
Better period under Lovie Smith. Let's get Taylor in here. He'll tell you what we were looking at.
What about the crowd last night, Taylor?
You know, to be honest, it was surprisingly packed.
Really?
My friends bought our tickets. Yeah, we bought our tickets last minute, thinking, oh yeah, we'll be able to move, sit wherever we want. It was jam packed for the first half.
Jam-packed.
I would say it was probably 75-80%.
Well, for here, that's pretty jam-packed. 75% full?
Yeah.
That's like...
Oh, you thought it would be more sparse
than
that?
Oh, that's like a super...
Hey, a quarter of the people not showing up is not packed.
For a Texans game, that's like a super spreader event.
Well...
Everyone, that's like a train in Mumbai. You're just trying to get out of there, and you've ever seen that where everyone's packed on? Yes, it is. Have you just seen those videos?
When they scored that
playing in Afghanistan?
Yeah, just tremendous amount of people in there, 75%. You really feel that comfortable? It was that many? Because that means that like 40% of the people who attended the game weren't even in their seats when the kickoff started. Taylor, does that sound about right?
I wasn't there until after kickoff, but yeah it was
okay. How
it
come?
Was packed. But after that third touchdown, mass exodus.
Yeah, it was sparse at the end when in that last drive, the last few drives, that's for sure.
See the Mumbai trains, it's just people hanging out of the side of them, and yeah. It's always a crazy bit.
Yeah. So we appreciate it, Taylor. Thank you. I don't know about crazy packed, 75%.
It was packed. I was waiting for the punchline. When he said 75 to 80%, I thought, but 80% would be a good,
yeah, 4 out of 5
would be good
seats
for them.
Boy, it didn't look like it was going to get anywhere close. But again, a Thursday night on 6:10, forget about it. Forget about it. But that's just, it's just stupid trying to get into that building. I'm glad I didn't go now. Crap. We were going to go about 6 o'clock. We wouldn't have gotten in there until about 7:30 or 8 o'clock.
This guy, Jack, says it was 85 to 90% full.
Really?
On Twitter.
Good for them. Want to get Case in here quickly? All right, Case, what did you see?
Hey, what's up? Morning, guys.
How you doing, man?
Man, that stadium was maybe 60%. There's no way. I sent a picture to my wife at when they announced the players, and there wasn't 10% in the stadium, but the telltale sign, it looks good on TV because you can only see the lower bowl with the new lighting. You look in the upper deck, it was like the old Astro days. Everybody just moved down to nicer seats.
Yeah, I don't know. So we got differing opinions. One says 95%. Kay says no. 60%. I don't know.
I don't know what to think.
I don't know what to think. Now I know it. At I know the what it start of the like. Game, nobody was there.
It looked like hot dookie at the beginning of the game.
Well, nobody was there.
We do see it fill up later.
Yes.
We have seen that before, yeah. And I did not get to see. That's why I'm trying to trust you guys. It's weird how people see it differently.
Yep.
Who were at the game.
Yep. All right, 8:13 ESPN.
Do you even count the upper deck?
Yes, you need to count the upper deck.
Why
yes.
would you count? You're not going to fill that. You might as well tarp that sucker up.
Yeah, well, that's an.
Well, then you'd be forcing people to buy tickets below. Then they would never get sold.
That's in the offing. 8:13 ESPN 97.5. What about watching it on your patio?
I'm going to watch a lot of stuff on the patio. Love when that first little cool front comes through. The patio has been getting used quite a bit, and it's going to continue to be. Looks like no 90-degree days coming up over the next couple weeks. So maybe we're done with that. If that's going to be the case, I guarantee you my patio is where I'll be all the time. It's a place where you can really enjoy getting away from it all. And if your patio, if you want that to be your second home, it's a great thing. You get those smart TVs. They install them for you, the big-screen TVs. You can watch whatever you want on your streaming devices. You can watch your games on there. You get up, watch Premier League. Got your college football, your baseball playoffs, NFL on Thursdays, Saturdays, Sundays, and Mondays. I mean, it's just a great spot to have a cocktail, have a cold craft beer, barbecue out there, invite your friends over and make an afternoon of it. Texas Custom Patios turns your house into a home with the best patios you're going to find. Go look at the before and afters, and you'll see what your home could look like. TexasCustomPatios.com, TexasCustomPatios.com for your free consultation.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
Hey, I don't know if you picked up anything yesterday. Picked up a little. I mean, it was easy money last night. Panthers under. It was easy, easy money. Did you take advantage of it? Did you have a place to play? If you don't have a place to play, I got one for you. It's called MyBookie. MyBookie.ag. Promo code BET975. Now, I'm seeing all kinds of advertisements. It's unbelievable. If you watched on TV, how many ads there are now for betting sites? But I haven't seen any of them saying, "Well, we're gonna match your deposit, even if it's not your initial deposit. It's a deposit now. If you're on MyBookie, if you used to be on MyBookie, if you haven't ever been on MyBookie, everybody right now who deposits up to $1,000 is gonna get that matched, dollar for dollar. So you get twice as much to play with." That's what's happening right now at MyBookie. You had easy money last night. Did you take advantage at MyBookie.ag? Promo code BET975.
Patrolling the Houston sports radio scene for 20 years. Well, minus a few years where Lance took a little detour. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, we're trying to get a definitive answer here. And somebody made the point. 95% of the Texans game. We can't believe that. I'm sorry. We just can't believe
it. But then this guy says, that guy saying 60% is full of ship. I said ship.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of people on the upper deck. I don't know. There was clearly more than what we saw in the first drive of the game.
Yeah.
Clearly a lot more.
Yes. There were a lot of people still on 6-10.
Because that was as bad as I've ever seen in 20 years.
Yeah.
I've never seen it that dead.
At the start of the game, yeah.
Now, you were also getting in at deep, deep discounts. Uncle Freddie got lower level seats. He paid $85 for two tickets and a parking pass. $85.
Wow.
You could never.
You know
never...
the loss that guy took on those tickets? Yeah. Unbelievable. Yeah, hey, Uncle Freddie, you feel good about that? You feel good about Uncle that Fred- somebody else might be starving today?
Uncle Freddie gave up his Texans tickets. Like, that's it. I'm done with them. I'm done with them. No more tailgating. No more cigar in the parking lot. No more. None of that stuff. Mm. Game one. Uncle Freddie's at the game. He bought tickets. Game two. Except, he bought tickets
except
to game
he's
two.
He's made money because no. He would have spent. Yeah.
He's that's right.
But what would he have spent on those tickets?
I'm done with my season tickets. I'm just going to buy retail now because retail is the new BOGO.
Yeah. Yep. Buy one, get one.
Yep. Texans.
And parking. Lee, let's get to the definitive answer. What is it? Is that Lee? Oh, that's an AJ. LJ, let's get to the definitive answer.
You're going to trust
the
LJ as the definitive
LJ
answer?
LJ is
the
definitive answer.
All right.
How big was the crowd last night?
Well, all right, look, so we got there. First of all, getting into that stadium is horrible. We were trying to get there early. We got there as the national anthem was being played. So we sat down for kickoff. We were on the lower level, about 10 rows up from the field, 50-yard line. And for the first quarter, I was like, cool, man, nobody's going to be around me at all. It filled up at the end of the first quarter, the lower level. I would say the lower level was about 80% full at its fullest. But when I looked up into the mid and upper decks, man, it was, I mean, maybe 50%. And I will say this, too. Around us, it was a ton of Carolina fans, right? So you had a lot of people going to this game, you know, I assume buying cheap tickets who were not Texans fans. So, I mean, I don't know. It seems like probably 60 to 65% full at its fullest.
Huh. Well, if that's a definitive, John.
That is.
If that's a definitive.
That's all there is to it. Sorry.
I guess that's it.
Sorry, 95% guy. You're way off on that one.
Well, that would be the Texans who are 95% guy. Oh, really? Look at tickets sold. You do know that's a blackout in years past. 66,000 tickets sold. They did not sell out all the tickets. You know it would have been. How long has it not been a blackout?
Well,
3 years?
It,
4 years?
It actually was a blackout here. It was only on NFL Network.
Oh.
None of the local stations picked it up.
I thought somebody said two had it. I was watching NFL Network.
No.
I thought somebody told me two.
Did two have it?
Two had it.
Oh, because I went, I looked at the guide. And
I don't know. I watched it on
maybe
NFL Network.
Did.
I didn't even look at local listings because I get NFL Network now.
I didn't think that they had it. No, they didn't. I looked at the guide and nobody had it. Maybe they did. Did they have it?
Intern Noah said, yeah, two.
Two had it? Oh, I missed that.
But I think it was covered. I think the NFL's, they had a deal a couple years ago where even if it didn't sell out because of the TV deal that they put together,
no,
you
dumb.
Still had it in home cities.
Yeah, the blackout is gone anyway. So
yeah, when did that go?
A couple years ago. Couple years ago. 822 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Our Astros lost. Our Astros lost the game last night. They could not hit at something named Cobb. He threw 5 2/3, gave up one run, and the Astros picked up a run in the ninth, but it was just too little too late as they lose it. Jack Mayfield, former Astro, doubled to left in the sixth, scoring two runs, and after Carlos Correa singled in Kyle Tucker to tie the game at one, but they retook the lead in the sixth. They win it 3-2 was the final, and the Astros now have a 7-game lead over Seattle and a 9-game lead over Oakland. So they've got 9 games left. They've got a 7-game lead. Their magic number is down to 2. Magic number is because they got the tiebreaker with Seattle. So they win, Seattle loses, and this thing is over. 8 games to play, an 8-game lead. when the Astros already have the tiebreaker. So that's all you got. The magic number is 2 heading into your last 3 series of the season. You're at Oakland for 3, Tampa and Oakland here to finish up the season.
You're going to cruise in.
Oh, yeah. But you did lose a game to the White Sox. Well, you lost a half a game. You're now 3 games back. Excuse me. You lost a game to the White Sox, but you lost a half a game to Tampa. You're 3 games back of Tampa. You still have a nice 4.5 game cushion. I believe it's 4.5 game cushion over the White Sox. So you're still good there. The White Sox are 86 and 67, and it's a 5-game lead. 5-game lead over.
Right now, Yankees are in, if that's the kind of thing you care about, into the wild card. They
got a game lead over the Blue Jays.
Yeah. Game lead over the Blue Jays. What do the Yankees play coming up? Once again, I want Garrett Cole and the entire team to miss the playoffs.
How about that the Yankees have the Red Sox this weekend?
Good.
Come on, Sox! Yeah.
They're at the Sox?
You're definitely going to be rooting for the Sox.
Oh, they're on the road at Sox, at Toronto Blue Jays.
But this is, and then Tampa home at home. Tampa. And Tampa owns them.
Yeah, but Tampa's not going to be playing.
Tampa. Well, you know,
but baseball's different.
Depends on what the Tampa does against us, against the Astros, games before.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I'm just kind of
– The Astros can overtake them.
They could. But you need to win. You need to win before that.
Well, how about this? The Yankees, all of these teams are
in the playoffs ahead of them.
In the hunt and for positioning. And the Yankees, that's their last 9 games.
3 at Boston.
3 at Toronto.
You got Cole going tonight at Boston, 6 p.m. So you got Cole there and you got Cole in Toronto. He is going to play a big part in whether or not they make the playoffs.
So Tampa has Miami at home, at Houston, and then at the Yankees. The Yankees.
Come on, Sox.
We just mentioned they have at Boston, at Toronto, and then they have Tampa in Tampa the last 3 games. That ain't going to be. At Boston, at Toronto, and then Tampa in at home. Toronto.
Look, yeah, this is favorable.
Toronto has at Minnesota.
For 3.
The Yankees. At home, and then Baltimore. That's favorable for Toronto.
Let me tell you something now. The Yankees are going to have to win their way in because you look at this. If they take care of their business 2 out of 3 against Minnesota and sweep Baltimore, that's 5 wins. They need 1 against New York. That'd be 6 out of 9. They'd be 6 out of 9, and the Yankees have 3 against the Rays. They got the Sox. Now, the Yankees are also good. They can handle their own business if they win 2 or 3 in. The Yankees just basically need to win 2 or 3, 2 or 3, and probably they might need to win 6 or 9. Yeah. They might need to. This is a pretty yuck mouth schedule that I love that so many teams are playing each other where you've got the Rays. The Yankees have the Red Sox and the Rays and, you know, the Blue Jays. Like, this is amazing how this has all come together where games are really mattering at the high end.
Well, and we thought these Oakland series would mean something for the Astros, and they've already closed out the A's. So the A's are done. They're 9 back with 9 to play, and the Astros have the season series. So the Astros got that. The Astros are taking care of that business. All they need, magic number 2, but they got to keep on winning. If they want to stay, they got 5 game lead over the White Sox, but they're still 3 behind. There's something to play for. Would you want to have the best record and play either Boston, Toronto, or the Yankees, or have the second best record and play the White Sox? That's the question. And that's, we'll find out what Pawpaw does with his lineups, whether or not he's trying for it, or I know he's going to say we want to win every game, and we would love to have. Hey, you don't want to go to Tampa, you would like to have home field advantage. All of those, those wins that they gave away with the bullpen earlier in the season. Boy, how'd you like to have a couple of those back right now?
Oh, you'd love it.
And every team has that where they lose games that they should have won, but the Astros blew so many winnable games early on this year. And you're just like, oh, my gosh, how are you doing this? How is that bullpen? What a disaster that pen is. And now it's coming up to possibly biting you in the ass. Because, listen, I was in Tampa last year for the playoffs. Or, no, the year before for the playoffs.
Yeah.
It's a terrible place to play.
It's a horrible place.
It's terrible.
It feels like people are rotting.
We were right down
there.
Low. It is awful. Awful to try and play there.
Ugh,
you want to buy a seat to that game, though?
Well, so I'm looking right now at Simple Seats. I'm giving it I'm looking at StubHub and I'm looking at Simple Seats. And the difference is StubHub gives you a slightly lower price on the lowest seats, the lowest tickets to get into the game on Tuesday. But then when you run their fees, it ends up being more by about, I looked at four tickets, ends up being more by about $16. And Simple Seats, there are no fees. Simple Seats, a group here in Houston, the guy who started it with, and he wanted two things. He wanted it to be more convenient for you, where it's really just kind of one-click shopping for the tickets to Texans or Astros or, you know, Cougars, Longhorns, Aggies, Dynamo. It's focused on local sporting events, relatively local, certainly. And then it's focused on no fees. Because the fees, he just said, look, set the ticket price the right way on the tickets, and you don't have to charge fees. And these convenience fees are the least convenient things ever when it comes to purchasing tickets off the secondary market. You can get your tickets much less, great seats for substantially less, never any fees at Simple Seats. This should be the website that you go to as your de facto when you want to go to a local game. SimpleSeats.com, never a fee, SimpleSeats.com.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5, real fun sports.
GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com. You're looking for the best way to sell your car. It's not even arguable. You know what? I don't know. If you don't want the most money for your car, I just don't understand that. I just don't get it. I mean, don't you want? I mean, unless you want to give it to somebody here, I'm going to give it to my niece or nephew and charge them. Okay, I get that. But if you just are going to sell it to a stranger, sell it for the most money you could possibly get. I mean, why would you take less? And the most money you could possibly get is at GiveMeTheVIN.com. John Clay Wolf says if he can't beat CarMax, can't beat the dealership, he's going to send you $100. That's how confident he is, and that's what he does every single time, is he beats all the other offers, period, exclamation point. So you're looking for the most money for that vehicle. And listen, I did it with him before, and Frankie was playing bumper cars with this one, and he still gave me way more than I thought I'd get. And this happens all the time. At GiveMeTheVIN.com, that's GiveMeTheVIN.com.
The conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Yeah, my bad. Mess up. There is no tiebreaker. It doesn't matter who had more wins during the regular season. So the magic number is 3 tonight. 3. So they cannot clinch tonight, but they can clinch tomorrow. Or they can't clinch the division yet. They got 3. The magic number is 3 now. So the Astros, there's no tiebreaker. No tiebreaker.
Will we or won't we have a division celebration on Monday morning?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
Beers, beers, breakfast tacos, kolaches, the whole works.
They've got to win 2. Seattle loses 1, or Seattle loses 2, whatever the case may be. And you have to beat Oakland 1 more game. Because if Oakland wins all these games, if the Astros lose all their games, Oakland wins all their games, then they tie. That's not happening. That is not happening. Greinke against Montas tonight, Valdez against Manea tomorrow, and then Odorizzi against Blackburn. Odorizzi's back. And in the rotation, Odorizzi looks like he's going to get the final start of the season. He's going to get this start on Sunday, and then he'll get another start next Sunday because they have Monday off. Odorizzi is fighting for a spot on this roster. Odorizzi isn't fighting for a spot in the rotation. Odorizzi's fighting for a spot on the roster to see whether or not he can come out of the bullpen. He's done a pretty good job the first time and second time through the order. He's been crap the third time through the order. I mean, like, really, really bad. Right now, it's McCullers. It's Lance that's going to start game 1. It's Valdez going to start game 2. And then we'll see. I could certainly see with Greinke starting game three and then either Urquidy or Garcia in game four. Who would you start? What would your rotation be right now?
If you can set it in any way you want, McCullers. McCullers, Fromber, right, lefty. Might go McCullers, Fromber, Greinke, Garcia.
You go Garcia instead of Urquidy.
Yeah, I think Urquidy is. I love the fact that you can use in the first playoff series. I might switch it up. I like that I can go to Urquidy. Here's what I don't trust with Fromber's control issues. I'm a little nervous. With Garcia, never been there before. With Zach Greinke, when it's Zach Stinky, it's no good. It's just no good. And Urquidy is a guy. Any one of those times for 2, 3, and 4, he can pick you up, get in there, and give you 4 innings if you need. And in the playoffs, that's going to be really, really important to have somebody who can carry you long innings, because we know it. If Greinke is bad, Greinke, it's a problem. And the same thing can – I think they'll stick with Fromber longer. He's shown he can get out of it. But if he keeps walking people, he's getting traffic on the bases. At some point, it's going to catch up with him. Hadn't caught up with him as bad as it could, but the whip numbers aren't great because of his walks. It's in the 1-2s. And then Garcia – I trust him and everything I've seen in the regular season. I just know in the postseason, that's a whole new animal to him. He's never been there. And as we talked about yesterday, in a three-game sample size this month, the strikeouts are way down. Way down. So is he fatiguing a little bit? That's, you know, I think that's a legitimate question.
Yeah. No. And that's maybe a reason why it's Urquidy instead of Garcia. Is that?
It could be. Yeah. No, it could be.
Urquidy had a couple of months off. He's building up arm strength. He's looked pretty good. Garcia isn't. His strikeout numbers are way down from where they were, and and his walks are up a little bit. So that's a problem. And you know, I like Urquidy in game three, Greinke in four, or Greinke in three and Urquidy in four, and we'll see. And Odorizzi and Garcia both going to the bullpen to help out there. And in long relief, because you're right, man. Greinke in Chicago in game three against that lineup, I could certainly see where Greinke lasts two and a third, maybe 3 innings, and you got to go to your pen, because the way that he has pitched lately, I'm not sure he gets through twice. Gets to the second time through the order.
Yeah.
If you want to know the truth, that's how bad he's been. And especially to start games, it's been bad. So you can't in the playoffs, and especially in a 5-game series, I know you want to start him because he's Zach Greinke, and you do that, but man, that leash is going to be tight. That is going to be tight. This is the Thursday night crowd in Houston from Vanessa Richardson. She put out, it looks empty, but that's at the national anthem.
You got it's a very small group of little Texans fans who are like super mad right now that we're not saying that it was 95%
full. It was a 95%.
Like, look at it. It's 68,000 tickets sold. Like, do y'all not know how this works?
Yeah. 68,000.
Oh, your
tickets.
Buddy. This guy's like, your friend who hates the Texans told you that it was 60% full. He's a 20-year season ticket holder who has bought tickets for the first 2 games. It's far from hating the Texans. He goes on road games. Now, he's only got 1 win, like his last 11 games.
He
goes
sucked on the road.
Yeah, Uncle Freddy is terrible.
Terrible on the road. He's the worst. I can't believe 95%. I'm just – stop. 95%. Let's not ever say that again. 95% for a Texans game this year. Let's never say that again. Let's get Rick in here. What do you say, Rick?
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. Hey, just wanted to call back because I called during the Olympics, if you remember, about Shane Boz.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Okay, well, this past Monday, he got called up and he pitched for Toronto. I mean, he pitched against Toronto Monday night and threw 5 innings and gave up 2 hits. So props to the Shaner.
Nice job, Shaner. That's a local guy. Where's he from again? Cyprus?
He's from Cyprus. Yeah, he went to Concordia.
Oh yeah, that's right. Way to go, Shaner. Now, he's not going to make their postseason roster, is he? Well, we might see him.
You know what? I don't know, man. I don't know.
You know what? We might see him, and he's in Tampa. We might see him this weekend. How about that? Or this week when Tampa comes here. So, the Shaner coming back and pitching? Wow.
The Shaner.
I like to call him the Shaner.
I know you do. Yeah. Like you've known him for years.
Yeah, that's my boy. Oh, that's
Shaner,
my guy.
The Olympian.
That's my guy, the Shaner.
The Olympians. Yeah, I saw he was getting his first start. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, good for him. Good for him. That's awesome. Congratulations to the Shaner.
I mean, unbelievable. There's so many attendance fights on Twitter now.
Is there?
This has become what Texans football is, fighting about attendance totals, what the real attendance totals is. I mean, you could talk about secondary play, the ability to get some rush. Now, what are you going to do to get the run game going? Did Davis Mills, how did Dave? I want to hear from Brandon Cooks when we come back. And our boy Uncle Freddie, who I was just told hates the Texans, the 20-year season ticket holder,
yeah,
who's bought tickets to literally the first two home games again, that he was lying because he hates the Texans, and yeah, it wasn't 60% full.
A road trip
it's 95% full, and you know how you know? Because they sold 68,000 tickets. When we come back, I do want to hear from Brandon Cooks. We want to, speaking of Davis Mills, his teammates were talking a little bit about him, and even the opponents were talking about Davis Mills. The stat sheet doesn't look incredible, but there were some favorable comments. You're going to hear from Texans and Carolina Panthers when we come back.
All right, we'll do that. But first, let's talk about my man, Doc Linville. He is awesome. I really like the guy, too, and you're going to really like him, too. He's a cool guy, and he's got the office is great. Everything about it, it's very easygoing, and it's extremely professional. But you're gonna like the Doc because he's just a good guy. What you're going to like the most, though, is that you're going to get this job done for your hair. You're going to have hair again, and you're going to really love that about it. And that's the thing about the neo-grafting. You know, the other way that they were doing it before with the cutting you and then putting it up on it, oh, you want to talk about painful and bloody and just awful. Well, here's the deal is it's not. That's none of those things when you're talking about the process, the neo-grafting process. And this is something that the Doc has developed. And the Doc has become one of the biggest hair replacement guys in this city. I think he said he was second in the city. And he's been doing this for just a couple, three years now. And he's that big because he does a great job. You're looking to get hair again? Go to 975hair.com, 975hair.com. Tell him you heard it right here.
Why don't we take a break?
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, it's 847 on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. Look at this. Look at this board. Everybody wants to talk about what the crowd was like yesterday.
Like there's people fighting on Twitter about... You're a D-head.
What?
And you're a F-boy. And you're like, y'all are fighting on Texans attendance.
Okay, let's see.
This is the saddest Texans Twitter moment that I've ever seen. Attendance fighting.
Uncle Frederick was there. Let's bring him in here. What's up, Uncle Freddy?
Hey, what's going on? So, I did give up my tickets, but I'm an addict. So I can't stay away. So... A big advantage, we did get two tickets, section 114, about 15 rows up, for $85, including parking, so it was a steal. But the crowd, I think everybody really from the upper levels moved down because the lower bowl did fill up right around halftime. But if you looked up top, it reminded me of an average rodeo show where all the badge holders coming in sit down low, but the top is completely empty. And it was really... 10 to 15 rows up on the upper levels was like a ghost town. But on our row, it was basically me and my daughter and then two other people on the other end. So we had four people on a row of 24 seats.
Really? Just four of you?
A pretty scarce crowd.
Really?
And Freddie, you've been a season ticket holder for almost 20 years. You go on the team with them.
Yeah.
You don't
I gave them up just right when we had the COVID option.
First of all, Freddie is the guy that I would trust. Who understands now? How much of that? So, what was the tailgating like? Because you've been there when it was really, really good and when it's been a little more sparse. What was a tailgate crowd like?
We didn't tailgate. We kind of walked through it, but no. The tailgating is probably 15, 20% of what it historically is. Very, very little tailgating.
That's terrible. That's a shame. This whole thing is
But this is what you get when you can't do this.
Yeah.
We wondered how long that would take, and the answer is now. I mean, this is what happened. And it's okay. This is part of the reset process that I think is important, because Cal McNair has to see this. And if you walk through the tailgate crowd, you have to see it or whatever the case may be. You don't want them to think that what they did under Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby is okay.
Want Cal walking through. If somebody gives him a cookie, he'll be happy. And you know what? And
this then, is what it's all about. Hey, buddy, you want a cookie, buddy? No, come on. We got to go into the game. No. Hey, you want a cookie, buddy?
We're going to build the wall. We have no choice.
I don't even know what that means.
What does that mean? That had nothing to do with that.
We're going to build a wall.
Oh. Cal, we're going
to
build
a wall. Cal wants to build a wall, and he found the perfect partner to buy in and be the new Texans president. Now that, you know.
We're going to build a wall.
We're going to build the wall. We have no choice.
He found somebody who really wants to build a wall with him.
Could use a wall right now. Let's get Ben in here. What's up, Ben?
Morning, guys.
How you doing?
So, good, guys. So, hey, listen, don't really have a dog in the fight on this, but I did want to give you my perspective on the attendance. My wife and I got there a little late, coming in from Lake Conroe. Got in about the end of the first quarter, and traffic was horrible. Coming in 288 in Holly Hall. When we parked in the orange lot, when you come in, if you've ever been in there, we had to turn to the left and then turn back towards whatever street that is, where the train tracks are. There was about three rows of parking available in the back of the parking lot. So I thought that was a pretty good indication of the attendance there. There wasn't a ton of people in the parking lot at the end of the first quarter as we were walking up there. And I looked around. I was sitting in the lower level, but I looked around, tried to get a full assessment of what I thought was there. I would say it was 80% plus, honest 80% plus. Anyway, that's what
a lot of people say. If you don't count upper deck,
upper deck counts.
Well, no. I mean, that's why I think there's some confusion. Also, to your point, if you're leaving work, you're more likely to go solo. When on game day, you may go as a crew. You may go four deep, five deep.
Yeah.
There's going to be more single cars going, although you also have that parking passes.
He said there were a lot of rows.
Three rows. Yeah. I thought he was saying that was pretty good. That's how I took that. Like it was more than.
Oh, more than
there's only three rows left.
Oh, no. Usually that's. Those lots are full.
I'm trying to figure out why people can't come to a consensus.
No.
Who were in the building from what I've heard, there were people literally spilling out of the building because it was so packed. Like you couldn't even barely get a seat from what.
It was standing room only.
Texans Twitter told me that it was 95% full. You were lucky to have a seat, if at all. And it was more like, remember when those guys used the caballitos or whatever, used to wear hats over there by the pump? Well, it was like that, where you just had to stand like it was standing room, SRO. Standing room only.
Yeah. It was basically an Aggie game. It was an Aggie game. It's standing room only.
I was curious how many people were there.
Everybody was going.
Here's why I care.
Sawing hordes off.
I don't care about what the exact number was in the seats. What I care about is if this is indicative of what the city thinks of the team. And yes, it is indicative. And yes, Cal needs to get a message. And yes, he needs to be more aggressive with how he handles certain things.
Let me tell you what I care about. None of this. So let's talk about Brandon Cooks. Okay, Brandon Cooks is really, really good. He is catching balls from Tyrod Taylor. He's catching balls from Davis Mills, and he's making those guys look really, really good. How he's running free? Can you ask me a question?
He's running good routes.
He obviously is.
And you know what? Against zone, he's doing a great job of separating and exploding out of his breaks.
Yeah.
He's been wide open on a lot of catches.
He really has. And here's Brandon Cooks after the game talking about talking about actually, you know, what went down with Davis Mills and
just even throughout the practice week, with a short week, the way that he took command and got us receivers after practice on a short week to still go over stuff, his leadership really stood out in that aspect. So definitely got a lot of respect for him in that aspect, and that's where I saw him grow.
I liked at the beginning of the game, right before he was in the huddle, right before they were going to break the huddle, he was fist bumping everybody in there. Yeah. It's a little thing like that showed me a level of confidence. Too, yeah. Here's Davis Mills. We've talked a lot of people talking about Davis Mills. And the reason this is a big deal is because if you actually hit on a third-round quarterback, it allows you more freedom in the draft. It allows you more freedom in free agency.
Russell Wilson.
It's a monster to have a low-dollar quarterback for the first 3 to 4 years.
And win Super Bowls with him like Russell Wilson.
And Tom Brady.
Well, that was a sixth-rounder.
Yeah, but I'm saying
third-rounder.
Outside of the first two rounds, you get a cheap quarterback like a Tom Brady or Russell Wilson, you're probably going to a Super Bowl. Here is Davis Mills, what he thought of his own performance.
I always think back on that quote, it's never as bad as you think it was, and it's never as good as you think it was. There were obviously a couple plays I'd like back. I'm going to come in tomorrow, watch the film, and see what we can improve on, but also see what we did well to move forward.
Mm-hmm. That's the right answers. He wants to be the starting quarterback, though. He actually said, I want to be the starting quarterback for the Houston Texans.
I mean, given the circumstances, I'm grateful for it. Unfortunately, Ty went down and never wish injury upon anyone. But I think moving forward, this is the place I want to be. I've always dreamed of being a starting quarterback in the NFL. So I think moving forward, just trying to improve each and every day is what I'm going to try to do.
Yeah. You know, hey, well, what was the question? Do you want to be the starting quarterback? Yes. What the hell? Yes. Of course I want to be the starting quarterback. Now, Hassan Reddick, we played this a little bit earlier, but this is something that, listen, this is high praise for an opponent, a guy who literally took his head off during the game. And it should have been a penalty, but it wasn't. But Hassan Reddick, after the game, talked about Davis Mills and his toughness.
Very tough, man. He's a tough guy. He's a tough guy. He escaped my grip, you know, a couple times today. It was shocking to see, even with the one hit, just the way he got back up, man. The guy, he's tough. He's mentally and physically tough. He got right back up off the ground and continued to play. So, and Davis Mills, they definitely have a tough player.
I just got one question about that. What is a gar? He's a tough gar.
Hey, first of all, he is from Newark.
From Newark?
No, not Newark. What's the really, really rough place in New Jersey?
Well, I'm not going to make fun of how he says guy.
No.
He's from
New Jersey.
Play it again because he says he's from Camden.
Yeah, Camden. That's it. Camden, New Jersey, which is hard as the pavement. He's got a Camden, New Jersey accent. That's what that is.
So I don't know. Is this weird?
He's a tough guy.
He's a tough guy.
Camden, New Jersey. If you want to mess with Camden, New Jersey, that's cool.
I'm not messing with Camden, New Jersey. If you want to take shots at Camden. I want him to speak English in Camden, New Jersey. He's a tough guy. It's a tough guy.
What are you talking about? You're from Chicago.
Not a tough gar.
Where you say brat.
No, you
instead of bratwurst, you say brat.
Bratwurst.
No, I hear it on.
No, we don't say brat.
On the Ditka thing. On the Ditka thing. That's what it says. Brat.
No, that's not true.
Maybe we got our pizza. How big is your pizza? It's 5-inch deep pizza. That's Chicago pizza.
That's what we say. Johnny, get the car. Yeah, that's what we say.
There's some of that. You want me to go through some of the people who are born in Camden? Because you don't want it with some of these people.
No, I don't want any of those people. I just want them to talk right. I didn't understand what he said. At first, I was like, what is he saying? He's a tough gar.
I mean, I'm a big.
Isn't a gar a fish?
I'm a big.
Isn't a gar a fish?
Guy. I'm a big
Hassan
Reddick.
Maybe he was saying he's a tough fish.
No, he said guy.
He's a tough guy.
He had a really sad story, actually. Hassan Reddick
had a fake Cajun talking about speaking English. No. Hey, Janu. How you doing, Janu?
Is that what they call you?
No, that's what Odell. He doesn't know anything.
Odell called you a fake Cajun?
He doesn't know anything.
Oh, speaking of that, our college football expert and analyst, Odelele is going to be with us from That's My Decision, and that's his podcast. And so we will.
By the way, five passes, five runs, one last yesterday. Yeah.
Five and five. Anytime you drop back for a pass and you scramble on or sack, that's not a run. That's a that goes into the passing.
Now, but category. We didn't clarify if he dropped back for a pass and then ran for about 3 yards. That would have been a run.
Well, next time we have that contest,
if he drops back for a pass, it's a pass.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That was a pass play called.
Yeah.
Right. That's what we have. Next time we have that contest. I don't think we'll have that contest.
Not that
again.
One. That one seems a little tricky. Yeah. But we could do something like who scores first touchdown. That's an easy one.
There were no less than 102,000 last night at the Texans game.
Wow.
David says.
Wow. 102,000.
I am a certified attendance assistant, so I'm trustworthy and no. Can we stop talking about, can we please stop talking about the attendance? That'd be great. All right. First, though, let's talk about Cars for Kids, Lance.
Cars for Kids is a .org. It means the organization that's out there helping people, and these people happen to be young people who are in high school or high school age who need a second chance at a diploma. Maybe they've had their issues. Maybe conventional learning's been difficult. And the Houston Can Academy works with the good folks over at carsforkids.org, and Can is right there in the name because they help you, give you an opportunity so that you can graduate and you can have success to move on to the next level. And what Cars for Kids will do is they'll come up and pick your car, your truck, your motorcycle. Whether it's running or not running, it doesn't matter. They'll pick it up, and they will give you a write-off, a tax write-off. And what they've done is hauled that junk in some cases, haul the junk off your property. In other cases, hauling off a car that still has some life that you just aren't going to sell. And Houston Can Academy really appreciates it, as do carsforkids.org. Carsforkids.org. Go to the website. Get started. Carsforkids.org.
When it comes to sports betting, sportsmapbets.com is the site you need. From weekly betting guides to single game breakdowns of the point spread, money line, over under, and more, SportsmapBets has all the info you need to make the best play. SportsmapBets.com.